Well, once again, beloved, this is Jim Rao, your host here on Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. It's great to be with you today. I'm coming to you from Mumias, Kenya, and we just finished last week the Mumias Crusade, and so I'm resting up a bit this week, just taking it easy, working out at the Shamba, the farm that we have here. And so it has been a joyous year for us. We've had many good crusades in Tanzania, Burundi, two or three here in Kenya. And so it's been a wonderful time this year for crusades. The Children's Home Project has not progressed in the manner and fashion that we wanted. We still don't have the registration for the Children's Home, but we're in the same situation that many people here in Kenya are in. All the registrations for children's homes are blocked. Even the existing ones are blocked at this time as the government reviews procedures and regulations and rules. And there will be some new procedures and regulations coming out after the first of the year regarding children's homes. And we hope then to proceed and get our home registered and then to be able to start taking in children. If that does not succeed, if the government decides to go the other way and not endorse or certify any new children's homes, why then we'll open up a children's school, a primary school out in that building. We have a beautiful building built, and we are currently using that building as a church for Living Water Church. And so we have about 80 plus people, just the children. We have 40 to 50 children coming each week, and so we have about 80 plus people coming to that church, and so that is a good situation. We're putting the building to good use. Even next week, we're going to have a three-day conference there in the building, and so it's going to be a very good time to bring people together, to let them be discipled, to let them be encouraged and strengthened in this time of the Christmas season. So once again, just to report on the crusade we had here in Mumias, we had probably about 50 salvation decisions, but this town is at least 50% Muslim, maybe more than that, maybe 60% Muslim. And so evangelism outreaches here are not the easiest thing to do. There's no persecution as such. There's no danger as such, but it's just hard ground to plow in. And so 50 salvation decisions in this town with the situation as it is pretty good. We had 2 days of rain, which hindered the crowd just a little bit. And we had some issues with the Pastors Association that always is an issue when you don't have unity with the pastors. It always crops up in some way or another in the crusade. But overall, we're very thankful. We're very blessed, and we had a good crusade, and people enjoyed the singers. We had some great singers here from Nairobi, and so people enjoyed them. And so overall, everything was good, and we are very pleased. So we're going to take a look today at the prophecies of Jesus in the Old Testament. And I have heard it said a couple of different times, there's 300 prophecies of the life, the birth, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus, that there's over 300 prophecies in the Old Testament. I've not gone through all 300 of them. I've read them all, but I've not singled them out and studied them all individually. But I'm sure that's probably accurate, because the Old Testament is a sign pointing towards Jesus. It's a sign that says Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming. And so that's what the Old Testament is about. The whole Bible is about the life, death, burial story of Jesus. And so when you study the Bible from front to back, which I encourage you to do, when you study the Bible front to back, you will come to realize that every book in the Bible points to Jesus Christ, points to his death, burial, and resurrection, and to our eternal life with him. So the first prophecy I want to focus on is in the little book of Micah, one of the minor prophets, Micah chapter 5, verse 2, which this specifically prophesies the village where Jesus will be born. It says in 5:2, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler of Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting." And so this one scripture here designates that Bethlehem, it's just a small village right outside of Jerusalem. Some of you may have been there if you have visited Israel, but this little tiny village of Bethlehem, out of all the thousands of villages in Judah, this village would be the birthplace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the one to be the ruler of Israel, whose going forth are from old, from everlasting. And the reason it says that his goings forth are from old, from everlasting, is because Jesus has been and always has been, and just like God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, Jesus was there at the beginning. And in the beginning, God made heaven and earth, and Jesus was there. Through him, all things were created, and because of him, all things came into being. And so he is one who has gone forth from old, from everlasting. Well, the next prophecy I want to look at, there's many, many in the book of Isaiah. And Isaiah wrote, 700 or so years before the life of Jesus. And so Isaiah in 7:14, chapter 7, verse 14, he says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And curds and honey he shall not eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good." And so Isaiah says that the Lord is going to give you a sign, and this child that is to be born will come from a virgin. And even the Quran, I bring this up many times because I speak to Muslims every single day here and often get an opportunity to witness to Muslims. And even the Quran says that Jesus was born of a Virgin Mary. Well, the Muslims here will say Jesus was just a prophet. And I say, well, what does your Quran say about Jesus? And they will say, well, it says he was born of a Virgin Mary. And so I say, well, what does that tell you about Jesus, that he was born of a Virgin Mary? Doesn't that tell you that he was divine, that he was the Son of God, that he was truly, the birth of Jesus was truly a miraculous birth? And that since it is a miraculous birth, and you know of no other man that has been born of a virgin, that should tell you something right there about the nature of Jesus. Well, in Matthew 1, chapter 1, verse 23, it says, "Behold," let's go back to 22. "So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying," and the prophet he's talking about is Isaiah, "Behold, the virgin shall bear a son, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us." And then it goes on to talk about Joseph being a father. "Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded, and took to him his wife, who was Mary, and did not know her," that is, he did not have relationship with her or sexual relationship with her. "He did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Well, again, we look in the book of Isaiah and go to chapter 9, and it specifically states that Jesus will be coming from Galilee of the Gentiles. And of course, we know Galilee is in northern Israel, and we know that that was the place where Joseph and Mary were from. And so in Isaiah 9, verse 1, it says, "Nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed, as when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward more heavily oppressed her by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan in Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. And that great light that Isaiah is prophesying about, of course, is none other than Jesus Christ. And those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. Well, beloved, this is true for us as well. The light of Jesus shines upon us. We're not in the land of Galilee. We're not in Zebulun or Naphtali. We're not in Israel. But the light of Jesus shines on every single person all over the earth. God makes himself available. He makes himself visible to every single person. The light of Jesus is visible to every single person all over the earth. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, that the invisible attributes of God are made visible. They are made known to every single person all over the earth, even these people in Africa, back in the villages of Africa, who have never heard about Jesus Christ, or nobody has ever been there to their village to specifically tell them about Jesus, but they know about God. Oftentimes they know about Jesus. God has given them revelation of himself and of his son Jesus Christ. And so it is the same for people in remote places all over the earth. I had the privilege many years ago of ministering to the Quebecor indigenous people down in the jungles of Costa Rica. And those people had a name for Creator God, Sekekala, they called him, Creator God. And God had revealed himself to them. They knew about him. When the missionaries came in 1990 or so, they already had a concept and a visualization, probably a true visualization of Jesus Christ. And so the missionaries just complimented or confirmed what God had already revealed to them. So jump down to verse 6 in Isaiah chapter 9. And this is some of the most famous prophetic words spoken over Jesus. It goes into depth of what his ministry will be. It goes into depth of what kind of person he will be and how he will impact the nations. And this was, again, spoken 700 years before the birth of Jesus Christ. Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Well, this is powerful prophetic scripture. It goes into great depth. David's life is spoken of here. King David was of the lineage of Jesus Christ. King David was also born in Bethlehem. That is considered his home place. And Bethlehem, the word Bethlehem means the house of bread or the place of bread. And Jesus also said, I am the bread of life. Well, Isaiah says that the government will be upon his shoulder. Well, what exactly does that mean? Are they talking about the government of Israel, the government of the U.S.? No, it's none of those governments. The government is the government of the kingdom of God. The anchor for the government of the kingdom of God is upon the shoulders of Jesus Christ. He took our sins upon him, upon his shoulders. When he went to the cross, he took our sins upon him, and he shed his precious blood. He paid the ransom for our sins. And so the government of the kingdom of God all over the earth, in every part of the earth, rests upon Jesus Christ, his sacrifice and his precious blood that he shed for us on the cross and at the whipping post and all the different ways that he shed his precious blood. That is the anchor for our soul. That is the hope for us, for all eternity, for all mankind. I've been in many countries in Africa and in countries all over the world, and everywhere you go, you find people that have a love for Jesus Christ. You have people that have a desire to know Jesus, to study His Word, and you can be instantly taken in by them, instantly loved by them. You have friends. If you know Jesus, you have friends in every corner of the globe, and you have friends in every village in Africa, and you may have nothing in common, can't even speak the same language with them. But if you know Jesus and they know Jesus, you have something in common. You have a bond and a kinship that goes beyond any human explanation. And that blood of Jesus knits you together with people in every race, every tribe, every tongue, every village, every city, all over the world. Well, Isaiah goes on to say that the names of Jesus given by Isaiah, he goes on to say that these names are Wonderful and Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And so I'm going to spend just a few minutes here talking about these names of Jesus. And of course, these names are not all comprehensive. They don't even start to tell us everything about Jesus that we need to know. But it was very amazing that Isaiah came up with these names through the prompting of the Holy Spirit, through the counsel of the Holy Spirit, that Isaiah came up with these names 700 years before Jesus walked this earth. And every one of these names accurately describes our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, Wonderful, without even quoting any scripture, let me just say, if you don't know Jesus, you don't know how wonderful your life could be. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I would urge you to ask the Lord to reveal Jesus to you. Just get down on your knees, say, Lord, I want to know Jesus. I don't have a knowledge of Him. I don't have an understanding of Him. I don't have a desire to know Him. But if you will just get down on your knees and say, Lord, stir up a desire in me to know Jesus Christ. Stir up a desire. Reveal your Son to me. If you would do that, God will be faithful and true to you. He loves you. He cares about you. He sent His Son Jesus to die for you. And so He loves you. He knows you. And the wonderful Jesus, the wonderful Savior that we have, will then show Himself to you, show Himself mighty to save. 1 John 2:1 says, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And so Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father. He is an advocate to the Father for you. When the devil comes to accuse about you, your life and your sin, and the devil says that you cannot be righteous, that you cannot know God, then Jesus is there to advocate for you. He said, I paid the price for your sin. I shed my precious blood for you. And so Jesus advocates to the Father for us. And He is always there at the right hand of God on our behalf. Well, Counselor, 1 Peter 5:7, it says, cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. You can go to Jesus with every problem you have. Beloved, you don't have to pay any fee to a psychologist. You don't have to buy any medicine. You don't have to take any psychotropic drugs. If you have problems, if you have demonic oppression, demonic possession, if you have despair and disappointment and heartache and heartbreak and pain in your life that you can't bear, turn it over to Jesus. Spend some time on your knees. Spend all day on your knees if you have to. Spend all week on your knees if you have to. And you take your problems to Jesus. You cry out to Him. You shed your tears and hand them to Jesus. And He will care for you. Cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. And many of us, not specifically me, but many of us have had many issues with parents, and we never knew the love of a father. We never knew the love of a mother. Many orphans here in Africa, children 5, 6, 7 years old, walking the streets here in Africa, they never knew the love of a father or a mother. They've been cast out and rejected by their earthly parents. How hard, how difficult do you think it will be for those children to embrace love, the love of a earthly father or mother? Well, it's very difficult because they grow up on the street. Many of them grow up sniffing glue and begging and going through garbage piles looking for a piece of food to eat, and it's very, very difficult for them. But beloved, Jesus can even take care of them. Jesus can even heal the wounds in their heart. And so again, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Test him to see if he can take care of you, if he can take care of your wounds, bind up your broken heart, and give you peace, give you joy. I tell you he can, because I know many orphans that love Jesus and know Jesus, and he has given them joy and peace in their life. Well, another name for Jesus is Mighty God, John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so Jesus is Mighty God as well. When he was on this earth, he was fully man, fully God. Don't be confused in thinking that there is no Trinity. Don't be confused in thinking there is no Jehovah God the Father. But Jesus Christ was also God. He also is God. And he was on this earth as man, but also fully as God, because he was sinless, and no other man can accomplish that. And so Jesus is also Mighty God, full of grace and truth, and so we can know him as our Heavenly Father also. Well, the name Everlasting Father is the next name that Isaiah has for him, and it's similar to Mighty God. And again, don't let this confuse you that there is no Trinity. Jesus is fully God, just as Jehovah God is Father God. Another name for Jesus is Everlasting Father, 1 John 5:7. For there are three, John says, for there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, or that is Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. But in every sense, we can consider Jesus Father, because we talk to him just like we talk to our earthly fathers. We look to him for guidance. We look to him for counsel. We look to him for comfort. We look to him for direction. And so he is also our Everlasting Father. Prince of Peace, John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. This is words of Jesus. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives do I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, or let it be fearful. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Beloved, if you have trouble and you have fear in your heart, if you fear tomorrow, if you fear next week, if you fear death, if you fear that you're not going to have enough on this earth, enough money or enough whatever it is that you want, enough family, enough joy, enough success, whatever it is you desire for your life, beloved, Jesus can give you peace, and you will be content with what you have. Jesus will give you peace. You will have joy in what you have, even if it's meager. And I know many people that are living on $2, $3 a day, and they have joy that will put the people in the USA to shame. They can have joy and be content with just meager food and meager housing, living in a mud house with very ragged clothing. And beloved, you can have joy and peace beyond anything that makes sense to you and beyond anything that you can comprehend. Well, I'm going to stop here today. We'll take this up again next week, the last message before Christmas. And so again, I thank you for listening today. I thank you for standing with us here at Gather the Outcast Ministry. I invite you to partner with us as we continue to preach the gospel here in Africa, continue to hold crusades here. We already have a crusade that we're planning in Mwanza in Tanzania after the first of the year. And so that will be the next crusade. And we invite you to partner with us. Get behind this great ministry. Get behind our radio broadcasts. Sit down, write us out a letter. Include a check to let us know that you appreciate these broadcasts, appreciate this ministry, and God will bless you. He will keep you. He will watch over you. And we thank you again for your participation. Stay tuned for contact information. coming up at the end of this broadcast. God bless you. Have a great week. Tune in again next week.